Amen. Thank you, Don and Phyllis. What a blessing. Very well done. Psalm 61. Psalm 61. And verse 1. Psalm 61, verse 1 this morning. I mentioned that I'd be talking about hearts today since Valentine's Day is coming up. So this morning we talked about the heart of God. And tonight I want to talk to you about an overwhelmed heart. You ever feel like your heart might be overwhelmed? Yes, we all can identify with that. Psalmist identified with it. He said in verse 1, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." He almost makes it sound like this has happened more than once. And to be honest with you, it does happen over and over. Our heart just becomes overwhelmed. We just feel like there's so much stress in our lives, and our heart becomes overwhelmed. But here's what he said. He said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Praise God, there is a rock that is higher than we are. "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows, that I might do what I said I would do, that I might finish the job that I'm supposed to do, that I might keep the word and the promise that I gave to you, God. But sometimes my heart is just overwhelmed. And I want to talk to you about an overwhelmed heart. Father, please use the message tonight to help us, certainly with winter, with the many things involved with that, with health issues and just not feeling well, especially during the cold weather. We often find our hearts just overwhelmed. We often find stress and pressure. It's just overwhelming. And so I pray you'd give us some victory tonight in our lives, that we could do that which we have said that we would do, that we could daily perform our vows, and we could trust you and sing praise while we do it. And so please lead us to the rock that is higher than us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I can remember when the hospital in Adams County, where we lived, when we were in Bern, Indiana, when they opened up the stress center, and they called it the stress center, special program for people that just had lots of stress. And think that, well, Christians would never need that. Well, to be honest with you, stress is something that we all go through, and it affects us. I was one of those that said, it doesn't bother me. But, I'm so glad that I read what the psalmist said. I'm so glad that others, sometimes they just feel like they're overwhelmed. And stress is one of those things, and our bodies will do different things to warn us about that. I remember going through a period that it had to be stress; it could be nothing else. They ruled everything else out, did all the tests and everything, and I've mentioned it before, where they said, "Well, you know." In fact, I was taken in an ambulance one time, and they said, "Well, we're pretty sure you are having a heart attack right now." And of course, that makes you feel real good, but. But it wasn't that. It wasn't that. All the tests were run, and I got to watch. They did a heart catheterization. I got to see all the little valves moving and all that kind of stuff. And finally, the doctor just said, "Well, you just must be under stress." And I said, "Come on, I'm a pastor." And he just looked at me like, "Yes." And there is a lot of stress. And it just, you get to a place where you just, it's just overwhelming. And you just don't know what you're going to do. And now, I didn't feel that, but my body did. And that's exactly the way the doctor explained it. I didn't understand it. He didn't give me any drugs or anything. He just said, "Chill out, man." But, it was one of those things that after a while, I prayed about it and kept praying about it. And finally, all that went away. And that's been a long, long time ago. And And we just have to admit that there are many, many stressors in our lives. There are pressures in our lives that, it does have an effect on us. And it does have an effect, and it had an effect on the psalmist. I like when it says, when my heart is overwhelmed. It's like he not only has had that happen to him before, but he's expecting it to happen again. And it's like so many things come and they bombard us and all these things. You look at our church and you think about all the things and then the roof starts leaking. And one day last week, well, it must have been Thursday when the bus, it must have been Friday morning or Thursday morning. I think it was Thursday morning. And I was in the middle of the roof dealing with that and trying to get some things taken care of. And then the phone, I either got a text or a phone call. Yes, the bus won't start and the power steering. And it's like, the bus again. Oh, the bus. And it's like, you just start to feel that. And it's like, okay, we can't take anymore. And God just kind of laughs because you can take whatever you get. Amen, and we know that. But again, I just want to talk to you about it, an overwhelmed heart. There's so many references to hearts in the Bible, and here's one that I think everybody here can identify. Well, maybe the young people, they don't necessarily, my Legos fell over, and oh, yes, that's terrible. But anyway, let me just talk to you about it tonight and try to be a help to you. Number one is our sources of stress, and there are so many things. So many things that just kind of put on the pressure, and sometimes it is so difficult. And I've sectioned these off. First of all, there are some things that God actually, there's some stress in our life. God kind of puts some pressure on us. How about just doing right? Does that bring stress in your life? I counsel with folks, and many times it's like, you say do right. Well, it's just tough to do right sometimes. And it is tough. There is stress in just obeying the commandments of God. There's stress. Brother Tim was teaching on, you taught on the Ten Commandments, right? And it's a real eye-opener when you really just look at the Ten Commandments. It's an eye-opener that we flippantly will say, I keep the Ten Commandments. And the truth of the matter is, probably you don't. And there's pressure, there's stress to do it if you really want to do right, if you want to please God. And there's some stress involved in all the thou shalts and thou shalt not. And when you look at the Ten Commandments and then realize there's a whole lot more than just ten, that's a lot of pressure. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if I really love him, the Bible says, his commandments aren't grievous. That is some pressure. So here I failed in this. Don't I love him? And all of a sudden, you just start to feel that stress and that pressure. When you first got saved, remember what that was like? And conviction, and you're at the altar all the time and God's speaking to your heart. Well, now we become, not professional Christians, but we've done that. We've gotten those things right. But now there's those things that we never did get right. There's those things we're kind of holding on to. If I regard iniquity in my heart, those kind of things, I'm guarding and I'm holding on to that one sin, that one thing. That's pressure. And it's pressure. And you come to church, and sometimes it can be just a matter of walking in the door, and God starts to convict. You try to read your Bible in the morning, and God deals with you. By the way, that's the second stressor, not just the commandments of God, but God's conviction over that. God's conviction. We used to go to pastor school when they had that, and it was like I looked forward to it, but I dreaded it. I looked forward to it, but I knew there would be messages where I would be convicted. And it's like that as church approaches, and maybe you've had a week where you've just failed some and all of that, and there's stress in that conviction. Before you got saved, I remember the pressure to get saved. I remember preachers preaching about salvation, preaching about going to hell, and I knew I was going to hell, and the conviction. And when I got saved, praise the Lord, that was gone, but there was new conviction. And it came about as new things were learned, and I learned the Bible, and there was stress on that. And so every Christian, you got to understand that just doing right, that's stress. Conviction from the Lord. That's why Paul was so frustrated in Romans 7. Read it. You talk about, the psalmist says, God, I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. I think Paul is saying the same thing in Romans 7. He says, I want to do right, but I don't. I fail. I mess up. There's some stress there. There's pressure there. Paul says, I'm a sinner, and I admit it, and I get right. And then when I think I'm doing right, I find out there's something wrong. You know what? If we're really growing as Christians, we're always going to find out there's something wrong. If you're really growing and you're really reading your Bible and you're searching the Scriptures daily, you're going to find things in your life that it should be constantly getting right with Him and growing. And there is pressure and stress involved in that. So many people, that's why they quit reading their Bible, why they quit going to church, why they quit listening to preaching, because they think that will eliminate the conviction. They think it will eliminate, but it brings on a whole different kind of pressure and stress, which we'll talk about in a minute. And so God's word, His commandments, God's conviction, the Holy Spirit convicting us. How about service? There's serious stress in that. And, in other words, somebody has to do this job. Somebody's got to do it. And boy, the stress, it goes on. Do you find yourself getting real nervous during announcements when something has been announced now for several weeks? And all of a sudden you start thinking, I know he's looking at me. I know he's announcing that again because I'm sitting here, And we've all been there. I can clearly remember the times at Marian Baptist Temple as a new Christian. And the pastor would announce, and I'd look around and I'd think, surely somebody's going to want to do that. Well, you can't do everything. And many of those people were already doing a lot. But there's pressure, there's stress on that. Somebody has to do it. And then about the time, we have a whole month of service. Like last year, we had that month of service. And here's people sitting there like, man, I'm already real busy. And then this survey goes out. Oh, brother. Now I got to put my name on something and put all these things I'm willing to do. And he'll probably take me up on that sometime. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got that thing organized. But I'm just, it's there's but again, does your heart feel overwhelmed? I've announced that the somebody to help out in the choir, and it's like, well, I'm gonna look down while he's announcing that. Yeah, I know. We've all been there. Because the job does need to be done. And we have a desire to please the Lord and a desire to please our church. And so, the key thing to that, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And all we should do is present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, whatever I can do, but you can't do it all. And you have to realize that. And so here we have the commandments of God and trying to keep those. We have conviction of the Holy Spirit because we're just not perfect. And then we have service and all that's involved in that. And then we have tests. Consider my servant Job, God said. And you ever put your name in there when things start going bad? God, I'd rather you not consider your servant me right now, And yet what an honor and what a blessing it is that God would say that about Job. But these tests, these tests that God allows in our life. It's like in school, you thought you got past all those when you finally graduated from high school. And yet God has all these things. And I've said this before, there is no learning experience that is complete without a test. You do chapter one and then you take a test. Of course, schools around here, we haven't had very many tests lately because we haven't gone to school enough to have tests lately. And the kids are crying over that, I'm sure. but we have our tests. And so here we are. We're trying to keep God's word and keep his commandments. We're convicted about where we fail, and we feel that stress. And then the pastor has us fill out a service survey so we can serve the Lord, and then preaches about it, and then makes this announcement every week. Somebody watch the children. Somebody watch the children. Somebody, you know, and I know he's looking at me, and there's that stress, and then we have these tests that come randomly, and these tests that we know that God is watching. The devil tempts, and God uses that as a test, and God is grading us maybe. And the thing is, though, we have to understand that test will never be unjust. You will always be able to pass that test. Whatever it is, you always will. Yeah, but I'm trying to keep the word of God, and I'm trying to, get right with God when he convicts me, and I'm trying to serve in all the places I can serve, and I filled out that service thing, and now I've got this problem in my life. Listen to me. You just have to deal with the problem. Just do right. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and you gotta just do whatever God wants you to do. And if you are being tempted, you can handle it. There is a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And you can win, and you can pass that test. Otherwise, you wouldn't have that test. But it is stress on us. And then all the choices in life. You know, decisions, right, wrong, decisions between right and right. Those are some of the hardest things. As you grow in the Lord, those are the things you see more than anything else is decisions between right and right. You know, most of us here tonight, this Sunday night crowd, most of us aren't going to be tempted to drink liquor tomorrow. Maybe tonight after church. No, but we're not going to be tempted to drink. That isn't our temptation. Most of us here tonight aren't going to be tempted with a cigarette. Most of us here, now maybe you were at one time, but you're not going to be. Most of us here tonight, I would hope in a Sunday night crowd, most of us, you know, it's not going to be a temptation as far as looking at pornography. But there are so many things that come into our lives that we have to choose, and we have decisions that we have to make. And that brings more stress. It caused the psalmist to say, my heart is overwhelmed. I just can't handle it. So we have those things that are spiritual things from God. And then what about the stress we put on ourselves? You know, this is what I say. I mean, you know, some people will say, well, I'll just walk away and I won't go to church, or I won't read my Bible. I won't pray. I won't try to be spiritual, and I won't have all this pressure in my life. Well, that's where you bring on different kinds of pressure. What do you mean? Well, our flesh causes us all kinds of problems, just like Paul. You know, one of his biggest issues was his flesh. He was so frustrated because he said, I want to do right, but I don't do right. And you know, if you're saved, you are going to have a hard time sinning and keep sinning. God deals with that. And one of the things God does is, you know, sheep don't like to be dirty. Pigs like to be dirty. Sheep don't like to be dirty. And I don't care, you know, it doesn't matter what we say, and well, I'm having a ball and I'm having fun, and certainly the prodigal had his fun, didn't he? But eventually he wasn't having fun. And we don't either. And our flesh, I know, you know, that is the big temptation today is just, well, I just want to do my own thing. Your flesh wants to do its own thing. Your spirit wants to do his thing. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you talk about a stressor in your life. It's when that flesh, you start giving into it. And you feed that flesh. And the more you feed that flesh, you are putting, it's like putting your heart in a clamp. And you talk about a heart being overwhelmed. When we give in and we bring that on ourselves. Sin we bring on ourselves. Sin, we bring on the ramifications of sin. What's that? Chastening. We used to tell our kids as they were growing up, we always told them, we said, you know what? You have a choice. What do you mean we have a choice? Well, you have a choice. Now, here's, we told you not to do this thing, but you can choose whether you do it or not. Really? Yeah, but if you do it, I'm going to beat the fire out of you. That was, they had, it was up to them. That is what it, I mean, isn't that it? Well, you tell your kids, no, no, don't do it. We would just say, look, we're telling you not to do it. You're not allowed to do that, but I'm just telling you this. If you do it, I am going to get the paddle out, and we are going to warm up your life. But you know, God told us that. Whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. And so whenever we choose sin, don't we understand he's getting the paddle out? I mean, with our kids, honestly, when they did wrong, and it's kind of like they look at us and it's like, okay, you did wrong, right? Now what do I have to do? Love me? Well, yeah, that's exactly what we have to do. But they knew it's time to go get the paddle. I remember one time, remember when Angela was hiding the paddle? Oh, yeah, we had two, though. We hid one. Yeah, and guess what? When the paddle was hidden, she got extra wax, because that's no good either. You say that's cruel. No, that's love, God says. But he does that to us, and is that stress? I'll be honest with you. You know, really, getting a spanking is never fun. I don't know anybody that would say, yes, you know, that's something I just long for. I never did. I hated it. And you know, I hate it when God chastens me too. Did you talk about stress? Okay, there's folks sitting here right now, I guarantee, on a Sunday night, you're just waiting. You know God's going to deal with you. You know it. Yeah, it's kind of like looking over your shoulder. You know punishment is coming. You know something is coming. And really what you ought to do is, at the invitation, get right with God and beg for mercy. Amen. I mean, chastening is no fun. Guess what? Sowing and reaping is no fun either when you're sowing bad. It is no fun. No fun at all. The wages of sin is what? Death. You know what? That's not fun. Things dying, that's not fun. Things hurting, that's not fun. All of that is stress in our lives. The choice we make to sin, you just brought on a whole bunch of trouble in your life. And the psalmist said, and you know what? My heart is overwhelmed. I just can't take it. And so we bring these on ourselves. The Bible talks about in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it talks about weights. Weights. Now, I'm not talking about weights, but it's not necessarily sin. It's just anything that slows you down. Anything that slows you down. You know, weights. And the sin which does so easily beset us. But these weights, these things that slow us down, a debt could be something like that. It just slows us down. You know, there's people all over the room. You know, we would love to give more, but we can't because of our debt. Our debt was not necessarily sinful, but it's something, it's just kind of slowing me down. That's stress. And we see a need, and we want to help somebody, or we want to help in the church, or we want to give more to missions, and we have this thing that is just, it just weighs us down. You know, it could have been a loan, it could have been a high interest, whatever. And it's not necessarily a sinful thing, it just was, it's just something that weighs us down. Things that rob us of our time, it can put on all kinds of stress. You know, when you decide to watch the ball game instead of doing the work you were supposed to do. To watch the Olympics when you were supposed to do your homework. You know, boy, you talk about bringing stress on yourself. The young person that, you know, that decides to do something instead of the book report that they knew about a month ago, and they put it off until it's due tomorrow. And you're sitting there going, would you hurry up and get done? I've got to go do my whole book report tonight. And we watch it happen all the time. And our projects, we do the same thing. you know, where we, well, I just have to watch this, or I have to go to this, or I have to see this, or maybe we have some kind of a hobby. It's not a bad thing. It just has taken you from doing the thing that you have to get done. And all of a sudden, you put yourself under all this pressure, this stress. How about the person who's outside the will of God? You talk about stress, getting outside of the will of God. And I'll multiply it by however many family members you took with you. You know, as you get outside the will of God, you talk about putting on the pressure. You talk about feeling that stress. Did God tell you to do it, or did you do it without His permission? You know, we hear all the time, well, you know, I prayed about it, and this is, and only you know. I'll have to be honest. There have been times in my Christian life that I did something. I said that, you know, I prayed about it, and I went ahead and did it, and I knew deep down God didn't want me to do it. I guess we've all done that. You talk about stress. How about Jonah? You suppose he had some stress in his life? When the storm is raging and he knows now that he's the one who's guilty? You suppose that was stress? You suppose it was stress as those guys grabbed him and one guy grabbed his arms, another guy grabbed his legs, and they said, one, two, three, out into the water. Phew, tough stuff. Getting outside of the will of God. And then he's inside the belly of the whale. That's a tough thing. Then he's in, and then he's puked out. And that's not a pleasant thing. So he gets to preach his revival smelling like whale puke. Can't be a good thing. But again, why did that happen? What are you doing, Jonah? Well, I just got outside of the will of God. Can you preach? Yeah, they're all gonna get right with God. Talk about a revival. It's the greatest revival ever known. The whole city. Probably 100,000 people get right with God. Can he preach? You better believe he can preach. Does he have the power of God? You better believe he does. But what happened? Well, he decided to step away from the will of God. And when he stepped away from the will of God, God did what he had to do to get him back. And that's a lot of stress. And the psalmist says, my heart is overwhelmed. You see, all these things, they bring stress. How about this? Imagined stress. We put so much stress on ourselves with something that God hates. What's that? Evil surmising. We imagine stress. I know why you're looking at me like that. You're mocking my bald head. Truth is, they don't care. They've seen it before. Oh, you don't like my tie, huh? Oh, you think this is for younger people, huh? Why do we do that to ourselves? Why are we so worried about what everybody thinks? Why is it when somebody, just because when they shook our hand, they didn't grin from ear to ear, why do we think they hate us? Why, if somebody stares at you, why is it they're thinking something bad? Why isn't it they're thinking that you're a wonderful person? I mean, the truth is, though, if they... What are you looking at? Well, I was just thinking what a great person you are and how much you've helped me and been a blessing. No, you weren't. Come on. And we put all that on ourselves because we try to figure out what everybody's thinking. Talk about pressure. That is pressure. And then we go back years ago and we start thinking about the past. Then we think about the future. Oh, you know, they're going to really hate me then. Oh, boy. You know, and we pull from all these imagined things that really aren't even true and they don't even matter. You see, God says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And he gives you strength for the day, not yesterday, not tomorrow, the day. So don't live in yesterday and don't live in tomorrow. Live in today, and God's going to take care of that. You know, people's expectations. You know, you're never going to please people. It's not possible. How big's your family? You know, sir, you can't even please your wife all the time. It's true. Ma'am, you can't please your husband all the time. There's a woman, I guarantee there's one in here at least, that's thinking, really? And she's ruined. No, I'm just saying, it's just reality. We're just not perfect. And so if somehow, you know, you not only have a wife or a husband and you have all these kids, well, you're not going to be able to please them all. And then now you're a Sunday school teacher. You'll never please everyone in the class. It's just not possible. You know, I brought donuts and orange juice to my class. I didn't. We feast on the word in this class. But I brought donuts and orange juice to my class, and they wanted apple juice. What's wrong with these kids anyway? You know? Yes, I made a bacon, ham, and cheese omelet for everybody in the class, and they wanted Wheaties. What is wrong with these people? You're not gonna please everybody. You know, it's just so you got to forget about it. What should I do? I'm gonna try to please him. That's what you have to do. It's hard, but again, it's stress. And then, of course, keeping our vows. You know, just like it talks about here in verse 5, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. You know, decisions that I made at an altar, decisions I make with the Lord at 2 o'clock in the morning, and things that I tell God I'll do. God, if you'll, you know, Lord, if you'll fix our roof. Anyway, and oh, the stress that comes on from that. And then you have stress from other people, and there's so much stress from other people. Stress from parents. Do your parents cause stress in your life? Don't raise your hand. They're watching you. But there is. You know? Stress from your spouse. Okay. Not my spouse. No, they're perfect. They never. Yeah, but that right there is stress. You just put a whole bunch of stress on yourself just by thinking that they're perfect. Anyway. Your boss. Your children, leaders, followers, teachers, your coach. Oh, yeah, Brother Poor. You talk about a guy with... No, but there's all kinds of stress. You folks, you feel it at work, especially the ones that work here. And there's so much stress from others. And then, of course, there's satanic stress. He's evil. He's a liar, he's an accuser, you know. He puts you under guilt. You know, do you ever feel guilty for things you know you didn't do? But Satan is just so nasty, and he does all that. And fear. You say, I'm just fearful. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So where did it come from? You know where it came from. I mean, seriously, you read the paper, you hear the news, and all of a sudden, you know, you find yourself, you're nervous about tomorrow. And there's fear. And that brings on stress and pressure and confusion. It brings on stress and pressure. And anger brings on stress and worry and discouragement and bitterness, as I preached this morning. And I guarantee there's folks right now, you're thinking, well, I know there's somebody I'm really angry with, and I'm mad at them, and I should have got right this morning. And you're dealing with that even now. And Satan's trying to get you to hold on to that bitterness. And he wants you to hang on to that thing. And why? Because he wants your life to be miserable. But again, it puts pressure on. And jealousy and insecurity. How many people deal with insecurity and blaming God for things? You talk about a stress. How can I possibly get rid of this stress and pressure in my life? It's all his fault. Well, you're really in trouble. And so I give some sources of stress. There are many other things, but number two is our spiritual supplication. And the psalmist just did this. He said, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer." And it's interesting here. He just says, "My heart's overwhelmed." He doesn't list everything, and I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying God knows what you're under. He knows. He knows exactly the clamp that you're in, and it's tightening. He knows. And our spiritual supplication is simply to go to God. And he said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." In other words, God, I've got to have help. I have to have your help, God. You are the one who can help me. Again, there are folks that go to doctors and doctors that have some pills and medicines and different things. But before you do that, get on your face before God and say, "God, I've got to have your help. I've got to have your help. My heart is overwhelmed." I want to remind you of John the Baptist, because a lot of times we get this place where we think, this can't be right. You know, I'm a Christian. God wouldn't allow this. God, he does allow stress in our life. And I want to remind you, you may think that, well, I must not be worth anything if I'm like this and my heart's overwhelmed. I must not be a very good Christian. John the Baptist, under pressure, in prison, sent his disciples to Jesus and said, "Find out, make sure he is the one." John the Baptist. Don't make fun of John the Baptist. Jesus said he's the greatest. And so for you and I to cry out to God, I just am overwhelmed. My heart is overwhelmed. I just can't handle it, because God may be just waiting to hear you say that. A walk with God will help you with your stress so much. Amen. A walk with God. I'm not talking about reading through your Bible in a year, though you ought to do that. I'm talking about where you have to have something. You're not just trying to get your five chapters in. I'm talking about where you have to have something from God. "God, my heart is overwhelmed." There's nothing wrong with telling God that. There's nothing wrong with telling God, "I'm surrounded, God. God, I just can't handle this." Could be early in the morning. Could be late at night. Stress will keep you awake. Stress will wake you up. Our spiritual supplication is simply to call upon God. Number three is our superior solution. What's that? Well, I think it's what he really wants us to do. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And if it's higher than I, I've got to look up. I've got to look up. The rock, it's secure. It's higher than I. And so I've got to look up to one that is greater and more superior than I. But more than anything, I've got to recognize that I can't handle it. But he can. Amen. Superior solution. He is the solution. He is my Thou hast been a shelter for me. He says it, you have been in the past, and a strong tower from the enemy. God, you have done this before. You are the shelter. You are the strong tower. And God, right now my heart is just overwhelmed. I just can't take any more. God, I've got to have your help. And I think he's waiting to hear that, because he is that help. He is the solution that we need. All those things, you just say, my heart is overwhelmed. We talked about David this morning, and this is the Psalm of David. This is David crying out to God. We talked about David. You say, you know, sounds to me like David. Yeah, I mean, he was a pretty spiritual man and a very strong man, and he obviously, you know what? David knew how to call upon God. He knew how to go to the rock that was higher than him. There, it doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how much courage you have. It doesn't matter how many great things you've done. The smartest person in the room, the best worker in the room, the guy with the most leadership ability, whatever it may be, you have to understand there is a rock that is higher than you. And there is stress that will cause you to crack without him. There is, and there's people all over this. There are people here that I admire as much as anybody in all the world that I believe walk with God and are successful in their life, their home, their business, whatever it may be. And yet, I promise you this, you have found the time has come in your life where you've said, "I my heart is just plain old overwhelmed." And I believe that you had to get on your knees and you had to call out to the rock that is higher than you. And so we've seen the sources of stress, the spiritual supplication, the superior solution. I close with our song of surrender. And he says in verse 8, So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. You ever just, I just can't make it today. I'm just going to call in, or I just can't do what I said I was going to do. I just can't. There's too much. It's just too much. That's when you've got to get on your face before God and then look up to God and say, I need that rock that is higher than I. And I'm going to praise God's name. Because again, if we could do it, then who's going to get the glory? Is it possible that maybe God has allowed all this? I believe with all my heart that's the psalmist. Who? What do we read the Psalms for? We want to hear praise. Why is he always praising? Well, David killed a bear, but it wasn't because he was a big, strong man. He killed a lion, but it wasn't because he was a big, strong man. I don't think. He killed Goliath, but he was totally outmatched in that battle. What was it then? Well, it's David recognized the rock that is higher than him. And maybe tonight you're under all that stress and pressure and everything else because God wants you to just say, God, I need you. And God wants to deliver you. There is nothing like God letting you know it's all right. I can't explain it. Can't tell you, look for this or look for this, because God has done it in my life so many times when my heart is overwhelmed. If your heart is overwhelmed tonight, I would encourage you, okay, you can see so many different options, so many different ways that it could be, but call out to God, cry out to him, and realize he's higher than, he can handle it. He can handle it. And then sing praise, and then daily, just get up in the morning and do what you're supposed to do.